It's interesting to note a bit about the context for this morning's gospel reading, where it fits into the larger picture for Mark's gospel especially. Jesus has entered into Jerusalem to the acclaim of the crowds in chapter 11. He's cleansed the temple in the mid part of the chapter, verses 15 through 19, and then concluded a series of disputes with Pharisees and Herodians and scribes. And now he's teaching in the temple. Holy Week has begun. All that remains is this last opportunity to teach the disciples in chapter 13, the passion narrative in chapters 14 and 15, and the resurrection in chapter 16. So our gospel lesson consists of two complementary stories tied together by the mention of widows. And this story contrasts the pride and greed of the scribes with the humility and generosity of a widow. It's interesting. So the questions that shaped my sermon this week, I'll start with in asking. What obligation do we have to those in our society who cannot provide for themselves? What responsibility do those who follow the triune God have for people systematically oppressed, marginalized, and vulnerable? Tough question. The text appointed for this week will not let us dodge these basic questions of what it means to be faithful to the God who came to bring good news to the poor and let the oppressed go free. While our country churns in conflict and division and violence, spiteful rhetoric and deadly acts, we hear about on the news and the TV and read in the newspapers. The Bible holds us accountable to how we treat the disinherited. Jesus takes sides and tells us with whom we are to stand if we want to be with him. And the scriptures require us to examine our hearts, our actions, and witness in the face of our current context and every shocking headline, beginning with how we treat the least of these, the systematically oppressed and the sustainably vulnerable, no matter who they are. How do we treat the widows in our day? Naomi, you heard in our reading from Ruth, Naomi knows all too well that without a man to protect them, she and Ruth risk destitution and death. Naomi says to her daughter-in-law, "I need to seek some security for you." That security is Boaz, the next of kin, and as it turns out, he's a moral and good man. Naomi gives Ruth explicit instructions that almost sound like advice from a 1950s women's magazine. Clean yourself up. Make yourself look good. And go get close to Boaz. He'll tell you what to do. And Boaz follows the religious rules. He makes sure a closer next of kin does not want Naomi's husband's and son's property, nor Ruth. He sends Ruth home with 6 measures of barley and eventually takes Ruth as his wife. She bears a son, Obed, father of Jesse, father of David. Naomi and Ruth's story moves forward in that of Israel too. A disastrous, tragic ending is avoided due to the goodness of Boaz. And while this is not exactly a resounding win for feminism, Boaz acts righteously. And within the customs and the constrictions of the time, and demonstrates proper care for widows, the vulnerable of the vulnerable. So let's contrast this story of Boaz with that of the scribes in Mark's gospel reading this morning. Jesus calls them out for their showy piety of care for the widows. Worse, they not only fail to provide for the weak and marginalized, they exploit them. The very ones they're called out to care for and protect. More than praising the widow for giving all that she has to the temple, Jesus is condemning the temple economy that demands that even those who have nothing give everything. The widow shouldn't be giving all that she has to the temple treasury. The scribes of the temple should be giving from that treasury to care for the widow. Maxwell Anderson wrote a play. The play is called Journey to Jerusalem. And it's about the coming of Jesus. And two men were talking to each other about Jesus' coming. And one of them said, suppose Jesus is planted like an acorn in a jar, which grows and spreads his roots and must become a tree if he is to live. And then suppose we are the pottery that hems him in and must be shattered when his swelling roots reach out for the earth. In other words, what if Jesus will require real sacrifice from us? What if Jesus must allow us to suffer so that his kingdom might grow? Just as a gardener might shatter a clay pot to allow a plant to grow. What if we are that clay pot? And his friend replied, we cannot let self-interest affect us in such a matter. Who values the clay pot if it is breaking? This eternal oak is set in our soil to flourish forever. But the first man replied, I value my clay pot. I value my clay pot. In other words, I don't want to be broken. I'm not prepared to decrease so that Jesus might increase. I'm not willing to allow Jesus to take control of my life. I like things the way they are now. I value my clay pot. We do value our clay pots, don't we? Yeah. We don't want to make real sacrifices. We like the way life is right now. But friends, I see people in this congregation, and quite a few of them who value Jesus even more than they value their own clay pots. These people are the backbone of this congregation, and people like them are the backbone of the worldwide church. Over and over again, the litmus test for loyalty to our God, for faithfulness to Jesus Christ, for obedience to the Lord of all is this. How do we treat the poor and the vulnerable? Do we care for the least of these? Over and over again, God's prophets and God's Son reserve the hardest judgment for those who profess belief in God, all the while exploiting and oppressing and hurting those already suffering. Scribes and Pharisees, unjust judges, woe to those who do not extend compassion, mercy, and tangible care and protection to widows and orphans. The call to Jesus is incredibly clear. Do not exploit the vulnerable. Care for those the world relentlessly seeks to crush. And the judgment of God is explicit. Woe to you who tithe mint and rue and herbs of all kinds, but neglect justice and love of God. The 11th chapter of Luke. You shall not abuse any widow or orphan. If you do abuse them when they cry out to me, I will surely heed their cry, and wrath will burn. And I will kill you with a sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children orphans. 22nd chapter of Exodus. Any questions? Wow. I mean, that just makes me nervous. Too often Christians have sold their soul for the sake of some perceived sense of personal security, with the widow paying for the price of their safety with her last coin, with her very life. Some of you may know the name of William Booth. William Booth was a Methodist preacher who founded Salvation Army a century and a half ago, in 1865. And Salvation Army is first and foremost not a social service agency. It is, however, first and foremost, a church. But as an outgrowth of their faith in Christ, Booth and his colleagues began opening soup kitchens to feed the hungry. And they established homes for the homeless. They established halfway houses for prisoners. And over the years, the Salvation Army expanded until it became one of the largest distributors of humanitarian aid in the world. And someone asked Booth to explain the success of the Salvation Army. And he said, well, I'll tell you a secret. God has had all there was of me. On the day I caught a vision of what Jesus Christ could do with the poor of London, I made up my mind that God would have all of William Booth there was. My friends, we can't be like the widow, giving God our last coin. We can't all be like wealthy people who give billions and billions of dollars to charitable foundations. But we can be like that widow in this way, and we can be like Booth. We can make up our minds that God will have all of us that there is. And when we do that, stand back and see what happens. It's bound to surprise you and maybe even bring you to your knees. When you let God have all of what God is in you, it's likely to even bring you to tears. When you realize what God can do with you, when you let God have all that there is of you. And it's certainly to bless you, and most especially to bless others. This week's reading puts front and center and in plain sight some basic things from the Bible, some basic instructions and admonishments from Christ. Don't abuse, don't exploit, don't neglect the vulnerable. Care for widows and orphans. And woe to you who's used your positions and your power for your own gain at the expense of others. Any questions? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.